Read chapter 2 of Colossians, although this morning we're really only going to focus on verses 6 and 7. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your heart, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us our trespasses by canceling the record of debts that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on about details of visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity of the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Amen. When I was looking at these two verses, you know, sometimes I mention, sometimes I forget to, but there's often a song comes to mind, as it so often does. I mean, there's an old John Hiatt song called Through Your Hands, and an angel comes down to wrap him in a coat, and he says, what am I not doing? The angel says, your voice cannot command, but in time, you'll move mountains. It'll come through your hands. And it becomes a theme of the song. And I thought of that when I looked at this, because it's easy to look at our Christian life. You know, as Bob just mentioned, nobody thinks they have prayer down, right? Do you? I mean, I'm not going to do this, don't worry. But if I ask for a show of hands, you know, how many think, man, my prayer life, I'm right there? I don't think we'd get many hands. And if we did, the people who raised their hands would probably be people that we need to pray for. We all sort of suffer about our Christian life. We think, you know, how is your walk with the Lord going? Well, so, Why? Paul gives sort of a basic picture of the basic Christian life here in these two verses, and that's why we don't want to just skip over them, which would be easy to do, to run on to this stuff about hollow philosophies and all of that, get back to all that. I want to get there. And Lord willing, in 2 weeks we'll get there. But I don't want to skip over this picture of the basic Christian life, because it's important. It's important that we know what it is. It's important that we're living what it is. But it's important that we see that this is us that he's talking about. He's not just talking about somebody out there somewhere, but he's addressing real people in a real congregation, living a real Christian life, and gives this description of it. And every word of this is really important. We're going to focus in on several of the words and key concepts that he raises here, but every part of it's important. I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time with therefore, but therefore is important. You know, you've probably heard the old thing, you know, whenever you come to a therefore, you need to see what it's there for. And so Paul is saying, based on the glory of Christ that I've been describing, based on you being a part of the body of Christ that I've been describing, therefore, since all of that is true, you're given that from that foundation, therefore, he goes on, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you have received, received is important. You have received. We talked about the necessity of revelation. You know, there's things that we can't just figure out. We can't just discern for ourselves. We can't look at the beauty of the stars and all of that and figure out that God probably sent his son and became the God-man, and, you know, to human nature and divine nature, two natures in one person, and then he sacrificed himself for us, laying down his life upon the cross for us, and then died and ascended from the dead and ascended into heaven and is coming again. You can't figure all that out on your own. It needs to be given to you, received. He says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received it from Epaphras, the teacher, who came to them and said, hey, I've got news. You aren't going to believe this, but you need to. And told them about Jesus. And they believe, because God opens your heart to believe. So you receive Christ. The grace of God sends the message to you, opens your heart and your mind to understand, to grasp your need of Christ, and to receive Christ, to trust him, to believe him, to rest in him. But then that trust, that belief, that rest has consequences. Paul says, as you have received, but I don't want to miss this part. I said every word is important. I was just going to skip three of the most important words. As you have received Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one set and appointed by God, the glorious one that all of Scripture had been pointing to and waiting for, he has come. And he's done all the things that I was just talking about, the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Savior, the Lord's distinct and distinguished representative has come, the Christ. And he came and he was Jesus, truly human, as we've sung already this morning. The fullness of God taking upon himself human flesh and coming. But Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. So Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, the human who died in our place and fulfilled all righteousness for us and gives us that righteousness. So Christ Jesus, and he is Lord. He is Lord. It means he reigns and he rules. But if he reigns and he rules and you have received him, then he must reign and rule in your life. And that's why then Paul says, after you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. Faith is not just something to believe, but it's something to do. It's a belief that has consequences. If you believe it, you'll live it. If you don't live it, you don't believe it. There's faith and life, and they work together. Christology. You know, in the realm of theology, when we particularly focus upon the person and work of Christ, we call that Christology. But our Christology must not be merely speculative. Oh, I think I understand some of the deep things of God about Christ, but it's to be worked out in our life. It's to be practical. Right? We don't just learn doctrine for the sake of knowing doctrine. You know, there are perhaps some things you know just for the sake of knowing. Right? There's things that I know lots of things that are completely useless. You know, in my mind, there's a jumble of, I know the words of lots of old songs, dumb old songs especially. You know, the way our brains work, probably because of the fall. You know, all that, you ask me all the words to Hang On Sloopy, I can tell you. It's right there. But you ask me something really important, and it's back there somewhere, you know. Maybe your brain doesn't work that way. That's how my brain works. Because this is really important. We better bury this deep. You know, because that's important. We want that to be secure back there. That's stupid. Let's just put that up front. But that means I have instant access to all the stupid stuff. And all the really deep things I have to dig for and root around for. But the things of Christ are deep things, but they should also be front of the brain things. Because they're constantly showing up in your life. Constantly showing up in your life. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. And you are. You say, how do you know that? You're here. There's lots of other places you could be. You know, our culture has changed and is continuing to change. But one of the big changes is now on Sunday, you can do pretty much anything except go to Chick-fil-A and buy a car. Right? And a lot of people go to look at cars because there's no salesman. You know, but you can do anything you want on Sunday, and yet you chose to be here. Why? Because as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, you are walking in Him. You sense a need to worship, to be among God's people. That's walking in Christ. That's working out this faith. And then Paul goes on to describe it. In another way, an interesting way, where he says, rooted in Him. Now, there's a little problem with the translation here. And I don't like to talk about problems with translation, because then you think, oh, yeah, I need to know Greek to study the Bible. You don't need to know Greek to study the Bible. We have great translations. You can make sense of this. If you just look at it and read it as it is, you can make perfect sense of it. But there's a nuance to this that is missing in this translation, in most translations. And it's significant. It is this. It would best be translated, having been rooted in Him, you are being built up and being established. Right? Having been, there's one past tense and there's two present continuing. Right? Having been rooted in Him. Right? Your roots are in Christ. That's why he said, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so then you have the root of the matter is in you. The basics of faith, of belief, of trust, of confidence in Christ, you have those roots, and they're strong roots. And he's saying, because you have been rooted in Him, therefore, He's in your life. And He's busy in your life. You are being built up. This isn't build yourselves up. You know, I watch people at the gym all the time. And I watch them building themselves up, some of them. Some of them, I think, are just tearing themselves down. I don't know. But anyway, you go in and you build up. As I've tried to be more consistent lately, I notice I can use a little heavier weight for some things. I can do that. I'm building some muscle. I'm building myself up. That's not what this says. It says being built up. Right? You're cooperating, but Jesus is doing it. He's building you up. You know, how's He doing that? Well, He's leading you to hear the Word of God, to sing the Word of God, to fellowship among God's people. That builds you up. He's probably putting people in your life that make you say, oh, help me, Jesus. And that is building you up. He puts people in your life that you think, you know, I'd like to be more like him or like her. That's building you up. It's not all in just big, wondrous ways, but every day Jesus is in your life. When we talk about the Lord is in it and the Lord is up to something and the Lord is up to something good, that old formula from J. Adams. But it's so important to see that. Yeah, whatever's going on in your life, Jesus is in it. He's up to something and He's up to something good. And it is building you up. And establishing you in the faith. That means your faith is growing stronger. growing stronger. As it's tested, as it's tried, it grows stronger. I thought, when I looked at this passage, of that passage from Jeremiah 17, that's why we read that, because it's a passage that's used frequently in biblical counseling, in the biblical counseling movement, a picture of two trees in the desert, they usually call it, but one's a shrub. You know, Jeremiah says about there's a shrub in the wilderness, and it's having a bad time. Now, it probably thinks it's having a good time. Right, because being a shrub, you have a heart filled with folly, right? Foolishness. You trust in man. It talks about that. Put all my confidence, all my hope in man. And so if things are going pretty well, you think they're going really well. You say, you know, this life is good. My life is good. And God's looking at you. Man, you're a shrub in the desert. And you don't even know it. It's a happy little shrub. You know, it's a Bob Ross shrub. But it's a shrub in the desert. And sooner or later, the heat comes and things don't work out so good. But he says, but if you're trusting in God, or as you have received Christ, so then you're rooted in him. He says it's like having a tree with roots that reach the water. And when the heat comes, you know, the heat of conflict, the heat of temptation, the heat of difficulty, the heat of anything. You know, when the heat gets turned up, it says the tree's okay because it has those deep roots of grace, those deep roots of grasping the Word of God, those deep roots of having the fellowship of the body of Christ, those deep roots of understanding that whatever's going on, somehow God is in this. He hasn't forgotten me, and he's working out something. So you have the roots, your tree stays green and you continue to produce fruit. Now, sometimes our fruit doesn't look like fruit. I was reading an article this week about stink bugs. I read fascinating stuff. But it was did you see the article at all? It was people at Penn State, ever helpful, you know, are trying to figure out how to eradicate stink bugs because they're damaging to crops, and they've found a wasp that is a natural enemy. You give me a choice between a stink bug and a wasp, you know, it's not going to take me real long to go, you know, all right, like, you know, anyway. But they're doing that because they damage crops. They're destroying lots of apple crop, particularly in Pennsylvania, and it's an issue. It's a serious issue. But sometimes I feel like, you know, the fruit of my Christian life has been attacked by stink bugs. You know, I think this isn't good fruit. But it's fruit, right? Doesn't look too good. Doesn't look real appetizing. But in the mercy of God, he still says, yeah, but I see that. That's fruit. And I can work with that. You know, somehow the grace of the Lord Jesus cuts out the bad parts and says, look, it's still good. And he accepts that fruit from us. So we are so easily discouraged, and I would contend that we are too easily discouraged in this Christian life. Know that our Father loves us, that he sent his Son to die for us. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And when you do that, you see that God continues to love you, and he's at work in your life, and he's building you, and he's strengthening and establishing you, and he's seeing the little miserable fruit that we have, and he's loving it. And how can we not be grateful? And that's where Paul ends, really, that it overflows with thanksgiving. When I think that God is at work in me and is receiving as good fruit the stuff I'm producing, how can I not be grateful? What a gracious God. What a glorious Father. What a wonderful salvation. What a blessing to have received Christ Jesus as Lord. I am grateful. we can all express our gratitude by receiving the signs of the body and blood of Christ that he gives us just real soon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. It is amazing. We thank you for our salvation, our Savior, our hope, our help. We thank you that even now you are working out your good plans and purposes, Lord, when we can see them and when we don't. When we fear that we're failing, we know that you are teaching and guiding and building us up and establishing our faith. Father, help us to truly be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.